Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Our next guests say the best of South Dakota culture can be found at your local farmer's market. Katie Hunhoff is publisher of South Dakota Magazine. Bernie Hunhoff is editor-at-large. The September-October issue of the magazine celebrates the harvest with a feature that follows markets from Hot Springs to Milbank and everywhere in between. They're joining me now in the SDBB studios in Vermilion. Katie Hunhoff, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Bernie, thanks for being here as well.
It's always fun. Thank you.
All right. So this is just a junket. Let's go around all across the state to farmers markets, right? Where did this idea come from?
Well, we've always done a lot of stories on South Dakota foods and unique foods. It's just part of what we do because it's a big part of our culture. And Katie and I just thought that it'd be fun to, because the farmers markets are such a showplace for these local foods and for a lot more, we just thought it would be really fun to really go out this summer and see how farmers markets are changing and what's new there. And it was a lot of fun. How many did we find, Katie? There's how many?
There's 45 farmers markets across the state, which is really impressive. Right. And back when I first started working at the magazine and when my dad first started the magazine, you know, even though we're a huge commercial agricultural state, it took a while for us to catch on with more of the local small farming operations. So there was only a handful of farmers markets back then, and now we're up to 45.
Right. So I say it's a junket because it sounds fun, mm-hmm. but really it's a celebration of some of those small operations, small producers, growers.
Yeah, but I think that's partly where the story came from, too, was that just during our regular travels, we would come across some really interesting people doing interesting things, and they would just happen to mention that, you know, they love doing the farmers markets in the summer. So as we kind of collected, you know, we just got that in the back of our minds, and we thought it's time for us to go out and really see what's out at the farmers markets, because we suspected that there was going to be way more than we had already discovered right. once we went out there.
How much has it grown, Bernie?
It has, like Katie said. I think we did a story some years ago on farmers markets, and I think we had a hard time finding a handful, and 45, you said. So that's really grown. And the other thing that's grown, it used to be farmers markets were fairly traditional, you know, just some local folks enjoyed growing melons and produce or whatever, sweet corn, and they'd show up and sell it out of the back pickup, you know, the box of the pickup or something, and it was fairly simple. But now the farmers markets are really becoming more festive and showing off the diversity of South Dakota, which is a really cool thing. I mean, I love the people that bring melons and sweet corn, don't get me wrong. Right. But in Yankton's alone, I mean, in Yankton's, you can go and you can buy produce and handmade noodles and things from an Amish family. There's a Hutterite family that I think is from Viberg, the Cameron colony. The Waldners bring all sorts of really cool things. And, you know, there's just more and more diversity all the time. So that's really a cool thing to see. You know, we tried to get to the White River Market out in the Rosebud Country, and we somehow missed that one. But I'm wondering, and we'd love to hear from your listeners, if in the Native American communities, if the markets are growing. We were not able to connect very well out there, but I got to think that they probably are growing out there, and we'd like to find some ways to show them off, too.
Right. What's driving it? Is it policies that have changed, that have made the state more farmer market friendly? Is it just mm-hmm. the sort of culture of the community that it's trending?
Well, regulations are getting tougher, actually. So, okay. You know, as the markets have grown, it seems, and the cynic in me says maybe the big food monopolies are trying to squash this whole movement. That's probably not the case, but there's more and more regulation coming from both the federal and state government. In fact, some of that stuff we dealt with when I was a legislator in Pier. So there's more regulation than ever, and in some ways the bureaucracy is trying to stifle it seems, but it's sure not happening. I mean, the growers seem to be willing to work with the regulators, and they're figuring out ways to label it properly. I think sure. the people who go to farmers markets, they don't really care too much what the label says. They want to meet the producer. That's really the beauty of it. They want to meet the person who's growing the meat or raising the tomatoes.
Sure.
And that's what people love.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think somebody in here, at least one person said, you know, we're not certified organic, you know, in quotation marks, but by the way, we don't use this and don't use this, and here's how we do. So you really, Katie, have an opportunity to ask everything about that melon or that, you know, whatever it is that you're picking
definitely.
Up.
Definitely. You're not going to find any secret ingredients or, I don't know if that's right, right. strange mystery ingredients at the farmer's market. Yeah. I think people really do want that that connection to their food nowadays. I mean, more than ever, people, have more allergies, more, the whole gluten-free movement and things like that. And I think they are just starting to investigate more, like, where their food's coming from, and they really like that direct connection to the grower.
Yeah. Did you get a sense from the people who were going and picking up produce or picking up whatever they wanted that's why they were there, too? Did you see those conversations happening?
Yep, we went to farmers markets. Well, everyone in here, my dad and I both went to all across the state, and we weren't able to get to all 45 of them. But, one thing I definitely mentioned was that there was repeat customers, that when I was there trying to, take an hour of somebody's time to try to get a photo of them, that their customers were kind of piling up, and they recognized their customers. They had a relationship and a camaraderie that was really special, and that's how it should be. Ideally. I just love that whole culture and idea that we're going kind of back in time.
Right.
And you're also dealing with, we love all of our farmers. My dad was a farmer, and you wouldn't have ever found him as a vendor at a farmer's market. He loved the solitude of farming, like I guess a lot of farmers do, right? But so here you're dealing with probably the most extroverted of our 30,000 farmers, I would say. And that makes it a lot of fun. They're entertainers. And, they're there to have a good time, and I think that the customers have a good time, too.
Is there sort of a cross-pollination, if I can use that word sort of jokingly, between the farmers and producers themselves? With each other, or are they sort of competing with each other a little bit for those limited customers?
Oh, no, there's very good camaraderie, very, very much so. In fact, I know the Yankton Market, which we're closest to. In fact, we take our old 1949 South Dakota Magazine Chevy truck to the Yankton Farmers Market because they want to plaster a sign on it every week, every Saturday morning. So we're pretty close to the Yankton one especially. And there's a great camaraderie. They work together, and the vendors, kind of loosely run the thing. And, absolutely, they're all looking out for one another, and they'll point you to the booth down the way if they've got something that you think that you need to learn or something. Really good camaraderie. But the really great camaraderie is, as Katie said, between the buyers and the sellers, you can hardly separate them. They're so close. And there's nobody in the middle. Think of how many people are in the middle. If you buy something from Florida or Brazil or something, how many middlemen there are between you and the food. Here, there's nobody in the middle, and that's really the charm of the whole thing.
Makes you think about what's available here and what's available now, too. It brings you in touch with, as a consumer, it brings you in touch with a little closer to home, to South Dakota as well.
One thing I was kind of surprised that when I went to the Brookings Farmers Market, so the story is kind of based on discoveries, kind of new things or kind of exciting things that we, new products that we found and different tips from vendors. But when I went to the Brookings Farmers Market, I discovered Aronia juice, which I really hadn't heard of. But when I was getting a photo of the gal that was running that booth, a guy came up, a young man came up and bought a bottle and talked to her for a while. And after he left, she said, he comes every Saturday and buys a bottle. And we kind of have the same conversation every Saturday. And I think that lends itself to an even bigger picture of how the market kind of brings a community together, too. Not just, the buyer with the seller, but also it provides me a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of a outlet as far as like communication and getting out of your house and being able to connect with other people in the community. And now it really is an entertainment type thing, because almost a lot of farmers markets now have music. Even at Yankton's a little bit of a smaller farmers market than obviously Sioux Falls or Rapid City, but we even have music at the one in Yankton. We've had people selling breakfast sandwiches there and things like that. So it's like a little bit of a fair every Saturday morning for our community.
Tell me a little bit about some of the places that you went and what you discovered. It's a large feature. There's lots of things. And I want to say about the photos, everybody looks so happy to see you. faces are lit up in these pictures.
We'd like to think that's true in every South Dakota magazine, but it's probably especially true here. Before we do that, could I say, the other thing, when we first started the article, the research for the article, we got a hold of a really nice young lady in Brookings. She's in the extension office in Brookings, Dr. Rhoda Burrows. And she told us the really great thing that we haven't mentioned yet about farmers markets is how educational it should be. And she urged us and everybody to go out and try to find something that you've never used before in your kitchen and ask the producer about that and how would you use it, like whether it's kohlrabi or something, maybe you're just not used to. So we really tried to keep that in mind as we traveled around looking for new things, Aronia juice, Katie mentioned, things that people might not be used to. And that makes it a lot more fun. Or they may have a new use for something that you've been buying forever, and or there may be totally new foods. One of the really great things I loved again is there's a family. They're actually in Center Nebraska. They're the only Nebraskans ever to be in South Dakota Magazine. it's an Amish family just across the river in Center Nebraska, and they make something called wheat Montana noodles. And there's a certain kind of very wholesome and healthy wheat grown at the headwaters of the Missouri River, about 1,500 miles northwest of here. And this Amish family, right close to Yankton, you know, 1,500 miles south of that ranch, buy this wheat and make it into noodles, you know, and sell it. They also run a little bakery, an Amish bakery, and they bring all their baked goods. So, I mean, those are the kind of surprises you run into at farmers markets.
Interesting. Katie, some favorite places that you went and favorite folks that you met?
The first market I went to was the Sioux Falls Farmers Market, which is a really great experience. And if you haven't been there, you know, try to get up there. The best time to go to farmers markets is about right now, I think, is right when the sweet corn's ready, I guess, is when the farmers markets really start booming. And at the Sioux Falls Farmers Market, you know, one place that, well, they have so many places there, it's hard to pick one, but one place that caught my eye was a guy who was only selling mushrooms, and he was selling mushrooms for $4 a bag, and he was also selling something called microgreens. And I think just because he was only selling, you know, it was almost like that was his specialty. He was a really popular vendor there when I was there that day. His name is Daniel Rizlov, and he grows his own mushrooms in Sioux Falls.
So he's not gathering. He's not foraging.
Nope, he's not. Yeah. And he takes it really seriously. And people were coming up to him saying, you know, what do I do with these mushrooms? And he had all kinds of ideas and on how to cook them. And the microgreens were really amazing, too. I can't remember exactly. Do you remember about the microgreens?
No.
He recommended that people just eat them like potato chips.
Sure.
They were really healthy and obviously a healthier substitution for potato chips. But something I learned.
But how much of this is being driven by health, do you think, and food as medicine and food as, you know, part of its community, part of its sort of a celebration, part of its just
I think it's all over the place, yeah. And probably everyone has a different reason for going, but it's a nice byproduct. If that's not why you're going, if you're going for the caramel rolls and the coffee, it's a nice, you know, little byproduct that you might be learning about some of these other options.
It's nice to say that you're there for the health, but I was at the Pier Farmers Market on a Saturday morning, and they were in this couple, Matt and Lindy Garrett. They bring all these healthy things, and then they bring these buttermilk biscuits, which I'm sure probably are not the healthiest thing at the market, and they're sold out way before the cabbage and the lettuce.
Right. And so you get to feel like you did your healthy thing today, but you got to
while you're eating the buttermilk biscuit, you
a
can
buttermilk
do,
biscuit.
Exactly.
The flowers in the Sioux Falls Farmers Market
Oh,
are
gorgeous.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Is that something that you saw throughout the state? Some floral offerings? Is that a strictly Sioux Falls kind of thing?
No, I think they have them at other ones across the state. And, you know, there's some other kind of staples, too, like people selling crafts. I think in Yankton, somebody's mm-hmm. selling photo prints. So it's really kind of like a little taste of South Dakota culture and a chance to see what people around you are doing and what they're passionate about. And that's kind of why they're there. They want to share their passion.
And the Goosemobile is in mm-hmm. here. The Goosemobile rides again. That was a small business that changed hands. What do you know about that?
Yeah, we've been fans of the Goosemobile, I think, ever since the magazine started 30 years ago. You know, it's a great story about how a bunch of Viberg farmers raised geese on a contract for some big company, and then the company backed out on the sale, and they had all these geese and nothing to do with them, and they butchered them and bought a kind of a refrigerated truck and went on the road and sold them themselves, and it was the beginning of an effort. They were pioneers in the local foods effort, and there's new owners now for the Goosemobile, so that tradition is going to continue, and they're pretty active in the farmers markets too.
Yeah, in a larger community like Rapid City or Sioux Falls, do you see the local chefs kind of sourcing some of their produce for the day at the farmers market, or do they just pretty much have a relationship with a local grower if they're going to do that?
No, I know in Rapid City that some of the chefs there for sure have said that they frequent the farmers market. But I think you're seeing that in every community now.
Yeah.
The local, again, the restaurants have really embraced the local foods effort, and I think you're seeing that I would guess in almost every community.
Smallest farmers market you visited? What was the tiniest one? How small does it have to be before? How big does it have to be before it's considered, farmers market?
They all have their own charm. I mean, I was in Milbank, probably not the smallest in the state. I was in Milbanks, and that was really cute. It's on Tuesday afternoon and evening, and they don't have very many vendors yet. But Milbank is really going through a renaissance downtown. They are really going to town in Milbank, and the farmers market they thought should be part of that whole effort to really revive the downtown. And just the coolest people in Milbank, in fact there's a couple there, the Bells, Myrna and Dale Bell, and they have goats. They bring all sorts of things to the market, but they have goats, and they milk the goats, and they make a goat milk soup and all sorts of cool stuff. And and they are entertainers. They are the extroverts I was talking about earlier.
Right.
So there's, I mean, you don't have to be a big city to make it work. I think it's working well in Milbank. And what are some of the other smaller towns?
You know, one that we didn't get a chance to visit, but that I've heard really great things about, is the farmers market in Burke. And I'm sure that's not the smallest in the state either, but Burke's whole community gets involved, and it's just a little taste of all the different things we talked about: entertainment, community, you know, great food, healthy food.
So your dad is the gardener. You prefer to eat and share the harvest with others. Has the trip you took across the state, Katie, and the various trips you took, sort of changed your mind about that? About gardening a little bit more, growing your own, or are you just going to be happy to go out and make a purchase?
You know what? I would say it validated my non-gardening. There's plenty of people out there that are doing a great job gardening, including my dad, and and I'm going
to
share in on it, but maybe not with the getting dirty part. So,
long-time gardener.
Yeah, you can learn, and you can. You know, I grew up as a farm kid, so if you don't dig in some dirt in the spring, you don't feel right. But that's the other thing is, people who do like to garden and grow their own can go there and talk to some of the best gardeners in the state. So that's another benefit.
Right.
And again, not to be keep plugging Yankton, but there's a gal, Cindy Nelson, who she's a young lady who had a nursery in Menno, and now she has a nursery on her farm outside of Yankton on the Walshtown Road. She's a regular vendor there, and she can give you all sorts of. It reminds me of when I was a kid and there was a Gurney Seed Nursery in town, and everybody went, and they had this old guy at Gurney Seed Nursery. You could ask him questions, and a real grumpy guy, and he would give you tell you, grow this tomato or plant this. And Cindy is a lot nicer. and she's at the farmer's market every Saturday morning, and all the vendors there, they're good gardeners, and they'll help you, give you ideas and tips. And
all right, let's finish off with what else is in the magazine for the September-October issue. If you're just tuning in, Bernie Hunhoff, Katie Hunhoff are here with South Dakota Magazine. We're talking about that September-October issue. Farmers Markets on the cover, South Dakota Festival of Books guide right there in the center. That's always worth it as well to get ready for the festival.
Yeah, we love the book festival. You know, we mentioned Milbank earlier. There's a big feature on Milbank in the next issue about that downtown revival. And then the other thing that I was really interested in is we have a big story on Mobridge, another small town up north. And Mobridge has this amazing art collection scattered all over town. It was never planned. The main thing are the Oscar Howe murals in the gymnasium. But if you really look around Mobridge, a lot of really great artists have grown up there, moved away in some cases, but they have art on display around town. And if you really want to spend a day enjoying South Dakota and regional Western art, Mobridge would be a good place to go.
All right. Bernie, Katie Hunhoff, thank you so much for being here. Pick up the issue. It's available on newsstands now, or if you're really smart, it's already in your mailbox.
Hey, there you go.
SouthDakotaMagazine.com, right? That's where you go subscribe.
That'll work. Thanks, Laurie.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much.
You bet.